1 Corinthians chapter 6, this was what our Sunday school was on this morning. Hopefully you were in Sunday school this morning. But when you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word. Amen. Like I say, David touched on it just a little bit this morning because our Sunday school lesson was kind of going in a different direction than what I'm going to preach on for just a little while. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Look at verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Paul's getting ready to name some things if this stuff's going on in your life and this stuff is prevalent in your life and this is your lifestyle, you ain't going. I don't care what nobody says. I don't care how many times you come down to an altar. I don't care how you be baptized, the frogs know you by name. But if this kind of stuff's going on in your life, you ain't going.
Amen.
Amen. Be not deceived, neither fornicators. That's any kind of sexual sin, basically, outside of marriage. And while I'm on it, amen, marriage is a covenant between one man and one woman. Ain't got nothing trans about it. For life. Amen. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's talking about homosexuality right there. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's plain. You ain't got to sugarcoat it. You ain't got to worry about painting it the wrong color. Amen. That's plain right there. But before we get on our high and mighty horse, notice what the next verse says. And such were some of you. Aren't you glad for forgiveness?
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for forgiveness. And such were some of you. Now listen to this next verse, how this next part reads. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Let's pray. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for another day, for your blessings, God, for the choir, God, for the choir practice today, Lord. God, it's just good to be saved. It's good to be in your house, God. God, I thank you for each one that's come this way tonight, Lord. And God, I thank you for those that might be watching on Facebook or YouTube, God. Be with those that's sick in their bodies that can't be here tonight, God, that still might be traveling. Keep them safe. And whatever's done, God, we want to lift up Jesus tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach just a little while on this thought, the sanctification process. Now, I've given many examples over the years about what sanctification is. And I remember one example I gave, you know, and when I get saved, I'm right here. I'm saved. I'm fully saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But sanctification is just me trying to get a little bit closer to the Lord. Amen. That's what the higher I get, the more I choose, the closer I get to the Lord. But I want to preach just a little while on the sanctification process. That word sanctification there comes from the Hebrew word or the Greek word. It means to make holy or to purify, consecrate or venerate or be holy or to sanctify. I found a little story in our Daily Bread. It said the story is told of a young girl who accepted Christ as her Savior and applied for membership in a local church. It's amazing that God, we having members join the church tonight. Amen. Were you a sinner before you received the Lord in your life? Inquired an old deacon. Yes, sir, she replied. Well, are you still a sinner? To tell you the truth, I feel I'm a greater sinner than ever. Then what will change have you experienced? She said, I don't know how to explain it. She said, except I used to be a sinner running after sin, but now I'm saved and I'm a sinner running from sin. Amen. That's the way it ought to be. Amen. She joined the church and became a great member of the church. That's the way it ought to be in our lives. Before we got saved, now listen, before we got saved, like David said this morning, some of us was even proud of what we did. Some of us, we'd go off and brag about what we did. We'd talk about how bad of a sinner we was. We'd brag to people about what we did over the last weekend or what we did, you know, behind closed doors. But glory to God, since you got saved, hey, you ought to be running from sin. We still make mistakes. We still mess up. But we ought to be trying to run from sin then. Amen? That's what I'm talking about. Now, there's three parts I want to look at tonight as far as sanctification. Number one, positional sanctification. This happens at salvation. When you get saved, amen, let's just go ahead and look at it this way. When the thief on the cross, Brother Tommy, got saved, he didn't have time to give up nothing. He couldn't quit smoking. He couldn't quit drinking. He couldn't quit doing it. He couldn't do it. He didn't have time to do all that. He died. But guess what? Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Amen. So positional sanctification, this happens at salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2 says this, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says this, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's the salvation. At redemption, we have a positional sanctification through the blood of Jesus. Guess what? You know, when I got saved, that night I got saved, let me tell you something. I don't even want you to know what I was doing the weekend before I got saved. I'm ashamed of the stuff I was doing the weekend before I got saved. But at that moment, David, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I was positionally sanctified. If I'd have died right then, I'd have went to heaven. Amen? That's what happens at redemption. Amen? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. We are sanctified only by what Jesus did on the cross. That's the only way we get into heaven. That's positional sanctification. Praise God for that sacrifice. David said it this morning. Hey, we can't live perfect, but what he did was perfect. Amen. And he died in our place. Positional sanctification. Now let's look at progressive sanctification. And Preacher Mike mentioned this several years ago about how that we get saved, we continually working through salvation, and the only time we're really going to be saved is when we make it to heaven. Amen. This is a daily growing in grace and getting closer to the Lord. John chapter 17, verse 17 says this, sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. Now listen, I want you to notice what these verses says. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You want to know how you're going to get sanctified? Hey, Preacher Trevor really preached, did a great job the other Sunday night. He talked about the word. He talked about, hey, when you put the word in, glory to God, the dirt's got to come out, amen? And if you'll sanctify yourself, if you'll saturate yourself with the word of God, with the preaching, with good gospel singing, I'm just telling you, you won't have some of the thoughts you've been having. You won't have some of the desires you've been having. You won't have some of the nastiness that you've been doing, amen? That's what I'm talking about. Hey, there's a progressional sanctification. Now listen, I found another little story in the Daily Bread. When a person becomes a Christian, now this is so true. When a person becomes a Christian, he usually undergoes some radical life changes. Amen? Especially if he has an immoral background. Though the first steps of spiritual growth and self-denial, through the first steps of spiritual growth and self-denial, he gets rid of all the large and obvious sins. But sad to say, many believers stop there. They don't go on and eliminate the little sins that cluster the landscape of their life. Gordon McDonald, in his book, Ordering Your Private World, told him an experience of his own life that illustrates this truth. Some years ago, when Gail and I had bought an old abandoned New Hampshire farm we now call Peace Ledge, we found that the site we wished to build our home was strewn with rocks and boulders. It was going to take a lot of hard work to get it all out. The first phase of the clearing process was easy. The big boulders went fast, and then they were gone. And we began to see that there were a lot of smaller rocks that had to go. But when we had cleared the site of the boulders and the rocks, then we noticed all the stones and pebbles that we had not seen before. It was much harder, more tedious work, but we stuck to it. And there came a day when the soil was ready for planting grass. That's how you and I have to live our life. When we got saved, we know, listen, when you got saved, you know you got to quit drinking. You know you need to quit cussing. You know you ain't got, you can't be running around and shacking up and all that kind of nonsense. Somebody say amen right there. Those are obvious. No problem. Most of us, Brother Robert, when we got saved, we left him on the altar. What about all those other little sins? What about all those other little rocks in our life? See, you got to clean them up too. That's called progressive sanctification. That's getting closer to God. Anything you give up for God makes you closer to the Lord. There's things that over the years, and I've told you this before, there's things over the years that are not necessarily sin that I've given up so that I can be closer to the Lord. That's progressive sanctification, folks. That's what we are. You ought to be closer to God today than you were last year this time. If you say, well, preacher, I'm as close as I was last year this time, you ain't growing. There's something wrong. We ought to be growing every day. We ought to be getting closer to the Lord every day of our lives. Does there ever come a point when you don't grow anymore? I believe there's some people that maybe get to that point. They've reached maturity as a Christian. You know, my mind goes to Miss Annie Mae Davis. I always think about her when I'm preaching on something like this. I mean, you know, I told you what some of the guys over at High Point said when 2000 was coming in. They thought Y2K, they thought all the computers were going to die and the raptures were going to happen. And some of them guys were talking about it after about midnight. They said, hey, you know, what if the rapture took place and we didn't go? One of them said, call me Sandy Mae Davis, and she's here and we all right. But you know what? How old was she when she passed away? Almost 83. She didn't get that way overnight. You know what she had to do? All them years, she just kept getting a little bit closer and a little bit closer and a little bit closer to the Lord. I'll never forget it. Preacher Chris Rumfelt's uncle, Leonard, talked about, I've heard him testify about this, and he said, you know, him and his wife, they had this little baby girl, and something happened, and his wife left him. And somebody said, what'd you do? He said, I felt my God just a little bit deeper.
Amen.
He went totally blind. Somebody said, what'd you do? He said, I felt my God just a little bit deeper. Mm-hmm. Folks, that's what I'm talking about. Even though we don't go through those kind of situations sometime in our life, and praise the Lord, some of us have got good lives and God's been blessed us, but we ought to feel our God a little bit deeper every day, every year. We ought to get so close to God that we feel our God a little bit deeper. Don't let the little rocks mess up your sanctification. Amen? Progressive sanctification. My last point is this, ultimate sanctification. Only when we get to heaven will you receive this. Amen. This is after death. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and body and will be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, and such were some of you, but you have been washed. That means saved. But you have been sanctified, that means set apart, and that you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Justified, being justified freely by His grace. Understand something. The only time we're ever going to be truly justified, the only time we're ever going to be truly sanctified is when we leave this here realm down here and we leave this flesh behind, glory to God, and we make our way to heaven and we're there for all eternity to live in a glorified body that'll never be sick again. We'll never face sin again. We'll never face sickness again. That's the only time that you and I will truly be sanctified. That word justified there is a legal term meaning to secure a favorable verdict or to acquit of a crime. One of these days, when you and I get to heaven, Jesus is going to pass the verdict. David Sellers, not guilty. Robert Lloyd, not guilty. Well, why can't he do that right now? Because I might do something stupid tomorrow. I can do something stupid. Let me go. I'm going to go ahead and shock some of y'all. I can do something stupid tomorrow and still be saved. Amen. Amen. I know how to. 1 John 1:9 is talking to Christians. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's talking to Christians. Why would He put that in there if we wouldn't mess up every once in a while? Because we're human. That's called progressive sanctification. But praise God, we're looking for that ultimate sanctification. Amen. Amen. I want you to bow your heads with me just a few minutes. If you're here.